What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 272 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecha Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
What's up, everybody?
We got the Ray Trace Dragon Ball Durag Madrid Devon.
Come, man.
Is it okay? And we got the most generous Squid in the Sea, Jalen Roberts.
You know, over here on that that giant sandworm coat, that yellow spice that allows you to see through space and time.
The fuck bucket.
Extra butter!
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Stellar Blade, Akira Toriyama, Yuzu, Adult Swim Games, and Dragon's Dogma 2. So we're rolling. This is really about Paul? Is that Timothy's?
It's just about...
Yeah, that's Timothy's character.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first two books are about Paul Atreides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it at least like P-O-L?
No. Oh. P-A-U-L.
Like Phoenix.
Like... There's a guy named Duncan Idaho that gets me every time.
Duncan! Oh! What's up, buddy?
Idaho, step in line.
What was his dad's name, like Carl?
Leto. Leto. Leto Atreides.
Jared Leto?
Oh, yikes.
No. No, that would be Leto 2. Specifically. That would be Leto 2.
Yeah. I don't know. That shit was funny because Paul was off the drink and he really pulled up in the spot and was like, I'd slap everybody in here.
Yep.
And everybody was, you pull out their knives, they're like, nigga, the fuck? And then he stood on business. He stood on business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got it back in blood.
He did. He fucked up, but yeah, he fucked up, but he got it back in blood. He's still on business. Up. Fucked up real hard, but you know.
Yeah, he fucked up real hard. And it solved my one issue, my one main issue with Dude 1. Not enough Zendaya. And they doubled down on it, so here we are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they didn't double down on it. They remedied the issue by giving us her in, like, every shot.
Yeah.
So we did it, Joe.
So speaking of we did it, Joe, what was that? Friday night, I was watching the State of the Union because I got on YouTube and it was, like, on the homepage. And I was like, you know, I'm a tax-paying homeowner and American. I need to see what the fuck's going on.
Let me do my diplomatic part.
I was like, let's see what he got to say. So my first concern with that was that he wasn't going to be coherent. Like, we were going to be listening to a dude his age try and say something. Mm-hmm. But no, he spoke in complete coherent paragraphs. Like, I was surprised. And then at one point he was talking shit about Russia and I was like, bro, don't start World War III right now. But you know, there's yet to be, you know, an attack. Yeah. So we're good.
Aren't they like still fighting in Ukraine? Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that was what he was calling out. It was like, so, yeah. But, so, during the State of the Union, some dude yells something, and they promptly escort him out, and I get on Twitter to see what the dude was yelling, and I see the news that Akira Toriyama has passed away. I see, like, the statement being retweeted from, like, the Dragon Ball account. Because the Dragon Ball account was like the first. And they had a letter with the news. And so,
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the kitchen and Ash was like, yeah, Akira Toriyama died. I was like, no.
That's not allowed.
No.
I'm like, nah, that's... I'm going to ignore it until it's everywhere. And it can't be denied. So, yeah. Eventually I saw it everywhere, and I'm like, fuck. I guess this happened. And then, you know, you start seeing statements from, like, his peers, his friends, and things like that. Like Oda from One Piece. I saw his show. I was like, damn, man. Like, that's his goat. That's your goat's goat.
Mm-hmm.
And which he's just the goat anyway because of, like, that influence. It really can't be measured or quantified at right. that point. Because
the reach of Akira Toriyama is so, like, when they really started breaking down some of, like, the references.
When you say anime, that's what you think of. That, you think of Dragon Ball Z, you think of that design, you think of Dragon Ball, you can think of fucking...
Something influenced by Dragon Ball.
Right, yeah. Right. It's children. Fucking Dr. Slump, Sandlot, all these things, like, series that he has under his belt, all classics.
And then, like, Dragon Quest, like, his work on Dragon Quest.
That's the thing. Dragon Quest 12, he's probably already done work on, so we need Square Enix to make that happen and make that, like, the grand send-off for Akira Toriyama.
Yeah. I have faith in that game.
Isn't there an actual Sand... I was going to say, isn't there a Sandland game coming out, though?
Yeah, that's next month.
They're saying that's his last... That's the last thing he worked on.
He had to have worked on Dragon Quest XII.
Maybe not. Maybe they haven't actually gotten that far into development on Dragon Quest XII yet.
They announced they started Dragon Quest XII development.
Right. I'm sure those character designs are at least done, but, like, the last project that he worked on was Sandland.
Oh, yeah. Probably finishing that up, getting that out the door.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, that Dragon Ball sparking whatever game that's coming out, I'm getting it. There's no question now. Like, it's just gonna be a celebration of his work because they're gonna, like, cram it full of characters. So why not, right?
Yeah.
Just relive those moments and hopefully updated graphics. You know. So I'm here for it, but it's fucking sad. Like, just thinking about it, and, you know, like, that's my childhood.
Yeah,
like, watching Dragon Ball Z, that is, like, one of three anime that I first seen. It was that, Sailor Moon, and Kiki's Delivery Service.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Dragon Ball Z was the one that really imprinted on me. So I made a lot of friends and shit. You know?
Yeah, like, as not really a Dragon Ball fan, Akira Toriyama was just so... He was just so in so many things that I enjoyed, like, in different anime, like, seeing the drawing he did, like, of Naruto, of Luffy, like, having that stuff, seeing that just in the general, like, anime community, just, that's, you were saying earlier, it's like, it's gonna be, like, almost impossible to quantify, like, his impact on just, like, culture generationally. Like, we're at the point that Oda was putting stuff out in the 80s. Like, what year was Dr. Slump?
Toriyama?
Yeah, not Oda, Toriyama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, it's been going on for a long time. And then, like, even us getting Dragon Ball, it was a parody. You know, he was making a comedy series, a gag manga, parodying Fist of the North Star and, like, taking the Journey to the West.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It's on the app. I saw Dragon Ball is on there. So I'm thinking about like reading that. And they have the color of the Saiyan Saga and the Frieza Saga.
Hmm.
Like those color spreads. I recommend reading those. I recommend like checking out the manga and getting it like directly from the source, basically. Like the purest Toriyama and not just like the anime.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do appreciate how weird his worlds are. Like with Dragon Ball, you got dinosaurs.
No,
you got machinery. You're just
accept it. Just,
and it's sick.
We got furries over here. There's aliens. Boom, over here.
For
like
aliens. I said,
dragons,
like
talking dragons and dinosaurs, and
imagine having to team up with the demon that you defeated years ago to fight your apparent alien brother to save your son. That is the first episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, yeah, I found the dates for Dr. Slump. That was 1980 to 1984. So, that's not even like late 80s. That's early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. And like the fashion, the styles and all that come with it.
Right. Cloud being Teen Gohan.
Heck, when Future Trunks showed up, he had that shit on.
True.
I mean, yeah, the Batman shirt.
Oh, yeah, that Vegeta was wearing.
Try to dress like.
Oh, the internet's eating Madrid, at least on my end, so.
Yeah.
Whatever you just said didn't make the recording. Maybe.
No, I think we just lost Madrid.
But yeah, Chris, what are like some of your Akira Toriyama touchstones?
I mean, just like Madrid was saying, like Dragon Ball Z as a child, like growing up, that was my first anime, and like the Budokai series on PlayStation 2 were like the games that you would go to elementary school or middle school and just like talk about, and like learning combos and like different tricks that you would like be able to do in those games. And just like it, that was my anime, or like I watched that and I watched Inuyasha, and that was pretty much like my anime as a child. And it is very sad to see that part of your childhood kind of go.
And, right.
But remembering and just like appreciating everything he did for us.
Right.
As a creator, and just like how, like, much of it being in our lives and made us kind of who we are, what we loved as we grew up.
Right. For him to have been creating from before we were born, and then,
yeah,
like it, for a lot of people to just hit at that right age, at that right time, like it had that right time slot, and.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I would like to state that Dragon Ball, Into Dragon Ball Z, all that, is such a timeless story that you could hand any mm-hmm. child, and they'll watch that shit and be like, this was formative.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason yes. for the rest of time kids are going to be trying to hit the Kamehameha like kids try to moonwalk.
Oh, my God.
That's just the way things are now.
Even, in, like, it's weird to think about, like, a kid's trying to turn Super Saiyan and just being, like, powering up. And it's like, you're a weirdo, but, like, I get it.
The fact that culturally...
It's on that nigga from y'all high school.
Yep. I've seen his clip come up, like, so many times in the past few days. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Maze High School alumni. We out here.
also the lore that everything, like, it was so ingrained in us as kids. We, like, Googled Super Saiyan 10. And, like, everybody can remember, like, the giant silver hair that went, like, three times Goku's body. But you, like, you wanted to know. Like,
honestly, that whole thing I was saying about Impact, like, you know how many people would, like, we would Google all that? Well, not Google. I don't remember how we would find it.
Yahoo.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. We would look all that shit up and then sit there and try and draw it or like trace it. That got started in art.
A lot of my art
directly from this art guy was, started in art and like writing and creating things and like that inspiration. Oh my god, it's really unmatched.
It really is.
And he was still working too, like still working on stuff.
Is Super over or? Well, I mean, obviously, he's not making any more Super, but I'm like...
The manga, no.
The manga is going. It's just, you know...
You know.
Doing some stuff. I haven't read it in a while.
It's in the... We're in in-between section right now. Where we're kind of catching up on some of the other characters because they just finished the last, like, big arc. You know... Frieza showed up, dropped the N-word, left, you know.
As Frieza does.
Yeah, I mean, heck, Frieza's black now. Frieza's black now. You know, showed up, dropped Frieza black.
I don't think it counts. Called him a slur. It feels like blackface.
Oh, no, it's because Frieza speaks in slurs. It doesn't matter what color he is. Every word that comes out of Frieza's mouth is a slur.
Yeah. So, like, the day after finding out he passed, so, like, he passed Sunday night, and then Monday night, was it Thursday night into Friday?
He passed on the 1st, March 1st, which was Friday. But we didn't find out about it until Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, it was the 7th end of the... It's crazy how it was just such a big thing that it's only been like a couple of days that we've known.
Yeah.
But... So, last night... Just for, like, a show of respect, I had Dragon Ball FighterZ, the new PS5 version, with rollback open on one monitor. And then on my other monitor, I had the Dragon Ball Broly movie just going. The Dragon Ball Super Broly movie.
Nice.
Had to specify.
The new.
I was like, there's a lot of them.
Still the newest Broly movie, right?
I think there's three total.
Yeah.
And Bardock was in it.
Fucking Bardock.
Bardock was, in fact, in it. This is true.
I feel like I should probably, like... You know, I'm going to wait, because I could see PlayStation putting, like, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot on PlayStation Plus. Within the next couple months?
Oh, yeah. It is on Extra.
Yeah. I needed it to be on Essentials.
Yeah. I tried playing it one time, and I was like, oh, man, I can't get through the tutorial, so...
I don't know. I feel like it's finally the time for me to experience the story of Goku.
You should experience the story of Goku. I have experienced it.
It's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You can read the manga.
Yeah,
might do that. I kind of want to play it because I really enjoyed like the story as pieced together and like nonsensical the story was in Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like, it was a good time. So,
yeah,
but also Dragon Ball FighterZ is just a good game.
That didn't get good rollback back. It took them over a fucking year and it breaks that game harder than shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw videos of like Vegito T posing and getting stuck in animation.
Oh yeah, the one that I saw, it was just like they used a level 3 super and you just saw like the character like copied and pasted like just all out to infinity. Because, like, the camera shifted and everything, you didn't see the characters actually move. You just see, like, one pose, like, copied and pasted, like, infinitely in either direction.
Oof. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, I mean, considering they have had people working on it, I think that it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could definitely see, like, more improvements coming to the game. Honestly, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't, like, throw in another character that's even, like, a palette swap or something, like, just to, like, signify this new version. Because there's, as far as I can tell, no new content.
Nah, it's just rollback. And we saw what that did. That's literally all it is.
I feel like this is an opportunity for them to give the game a second win, and they still might. I mean, it's super steep competition with Street Fighter and Tekken just out there being current.
And I mean, people are still playing Mortal Kombat. I mean, Peacemaker just came out.
I'm gonna wait to play Mortal Kombat. I'm sure.
No, you never buy a WB game the first year and a half, if not 2 years of its release.
I don't know. Should you even buy it then? Will it be available to be bought then?
Right. Fucking WB.
Right. So the two big stories out of WB this week is the first one is Warner Brothers Discovery will delist all Adult Swim titles within 60 days. So I got this list here of all these
bangers,
all these Adult Swim games that are available on Steam that are going to be delisted. So we got Duck Game, which I've never heard of. Samurai Jack Battle Through Time, which I've heard is pretty good.
No, Duck Game is fun as hell. It's basically Worms, but with ducks.
I thought it was like a duck hunter.
I mean, the ducks are hunting each other. Four players in an arena, pick up weapons, one hit kills. Last one standing wins.
Alright, so Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. Rick and Morty Virtual Reality, which is a game that I have a physical copy of on PlayStation. So, you know, if anybody ever wants to bust out the PS4 and PSVR1 to play that.
Damn, too bad you can't use the PSVR 2 to play it.
Right. Well, too bad you did. You can on PC. You'll be able to.
I was going to say, can't you just like dump the ROM on PC and then connect the...
it's just on Steam. So now that you can just hook the PSVR 2 up to a PC, you can just play it on Steam VR on a PSVR 2. If you get it within the now less than 60 days.
But that's assuming they don't, like, remove the game.
Well, no,
they don't know if you will be able to actually keep the game, even if you own it.
Well, if you have the file stored locally, they can't, revoke it from your computer, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like it's a PlayStation where they can just, you know, say, fuck you. You're never going to play PT again.
Hey, that's what Warner Brothers has been doing all year. Like, basically, if they think they can get a tax write-off off it, they're doing it.
Damn.
Yeah,
like, honestly, we're not going to see Acme versus Wile E. Coyote, which is supposed to be a live-action Looney Tunes movie. All the live-action Looney Tunes movies are good. Maybe with the exception of Space Jam 2.
Yeah, but outside it's just unnecessary.
Outside of that, like all the live action. Good. Yeah, man. All the live action Hanna-Barbera movies, especially Looney Tunes, are good.
All right, so I dropped the list of all the games. I got a couple to shout out. I know Headlander was really big. Pool Panic. I have the Pool Panic demo on my Switch. Zenzenic is actually a really good game. I might have to go scoop that before it gets delisted so I can play that on my Steam Deck. That was a game early on in Discord, when Discord still had a game store. Like, that was like free giveaway at one point. So I have actually played that game. I might still have the file somewhere to be able to play it, but, you know, get it on Steam, have it available on Steam Deck. You guys see any that you guys want to shout out of this list?
I played a little bit of Headlander, and that was fun. And also, like, these games deserve to be still up for preservation. Like, this is another one of those, every decent argument against game piracy is dying with shit like this happens again and again.
True. Yeah.
Was Samurai Jack good?
It has the better ending to the TV show.
Oh.
It has very positive reviews on Steam. 85% of the 1,227 reviews of this game are positive.
Yeah, it was like a banger, but it's basically a double A. So those are the ones that kind of get swept under the rug.
Yeah. And then one of the things, a lot of these games are from smaller developers, and they're saying that they won't be able to transfer the rights to the games back to the original developers, even though, according to some of the developers that want their games back, they're like, it would take 2 minutes. But it seems like they're cutting so much that they wouldn't even have the people, to spend the 2 minutes per game on all these games to get them transferred back to their developers.
Yeah, there's that, and I honestly think they just don't want them to have it.
No, that could definitely be it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it. That's the worst part.
I mean, 2 minutes is not a long time.
Right? Even however many games this is. Let's say this is 30 games here.
Mm-hmm.
That's an hour.
Right. You don't want to
give somebody minimum wage for 1 hour to do it. Fuck it. Just make it happen, honestly. Like, for preservation, so that developers don't have their work just, like, blinked out of existence for the most part.
Fucking erase. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame.
Hey, if you're going to try and throw it away for a tax write-off, it should be just automatically public domain.
Honestly,
doesn't go to the original creator, it either goes back to the original creators or public domain. That's basically what should happen.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And so the other thing they did is they shut down Rooster Teeth. After 21 years, Rooster Teeth, a internet institution, is going away. Like, this episode, we got some good news later, y'all. Like,
we got to. A little pellet. We need a little pellet cleanser, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wasn't this like the final season of Red versus Blue? And
I feel like it's been the final season of Red versus Blue for like a decade.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
But like, Rooster Teeth kind of became a lot. Well, Rooster Teeth definitely became a lot more than Red versus Blue. Like,
yeah.
But having them do Machinima, like,
yeah, and I didn't know that they thing. Did, like, Machinima, because I used to watch that shit on G4.
Well, yep.
Not like the actual, like, Machinima channel. That wasn't with them. That was like a separate kind of like network. but like the actual like term machinima just refers to like capturing gameplay. Back when that was a lot harder to do than it is now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But yeah, so, I mean, Rooster Teeth, between Ruby, like, the amount of things that they did in the, like, mark that they had on the games industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, like, they were really great content creators. I know, like, they work with Kinda Funny on some things, but, like, they weren't owned by Rooster Teeth. Because a lot of people thought that they were owned by Rooster Teeth, but it was just like, no, we partnered with them on, like, advertising. And so,
mm-hmm.
But they were even saying they do their own ads now, so they probably haven't even worked with them in that capacity for a while.
Honestly, it's just a travesty that they went down like this.
Yeah. But that's apparently, really, like, Variety was reporting on it. Apparently, from the minute they got sold to the company that they got sold to before that company got sold to Warner Brothers, apparently since that acquisition happened, they haven't been profitable whatsoever.
Apparently, also, I'm not like, surprised.
RTX was like a huge money pit, and they just kept doing it. Even though they didn't have to, they just kept doing it and kept losing thousands, if not millions of dollars of Warner money on, like, it just seems like it, the people who were running it, because I know a lot of the original, like, creators of it have gone off and done their own thing since Rooster Teeth. But it seems like, yeah, the first time that they were actually acquired and stopped being independent is when things started going downhill, and it's been years since that happened. All right.
I'm not surprised.
No.
Because also, as much as I like Rooster Teeth, their history and their institution, they haven't anything that they created past, what was it, Ruby Season 4 has not been good. Like, Genlock was a trash fire. I think the other things they tried to make were also trash fires. So I'm, once again, not surprised.
Yeah, I never really engaged with Rooster Teeth, so. But I respect it.
All right, so. Oof. You know, we're going to have to do one of these good stories. So, just to bring it up some, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth pretty much every night for the past week. And I'm at the point, I'm in Chapter 7. I think I'm about 20 hours in. I have 100%ed the Grasslands and the Junon regions. And I've done the Costa Del Sol stuff. Yuffie's joined my party. And so,
thank you to shit, huh?
Oh, I'm definitely not. I was in a PSN party with Juwan last night. Like, Darren and I are at similar, like,
level. Juwan's probably, opinion. Like, not far off from the platinum.
We all realize, like, just judging by the pacing of the game, if we were to beeline it, all of us could have been done by now, but because it has that Ubisoft open world, which I appreciate it in this game for what it is and how it functions.
It's, well, just, this is the thing about it, is the difference between, like, a well-made open world sandbox and what Ubisoft does is that Ubisoft bloats the sandbox to get around with the fact that it doesn't actually have that much interesting content in it.
Right. Which, they don't the way even you try describe... and hide that there's not that much interesting content. Right. There's like, there are four of these things. There are six of these things.
Go get a million crates or some bullshit.
It's like, time to inundate you.
Yeah, they don't got to do, since 7 actually has like content you want to interact with through the main story, all of his extra side content is just fun side content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heck, that's half of Ubisoft's problems right there, is that their sandboxes are bloated full of junk.
Well,
they're just there to say that there's something in it.
I'm starting to get to the point with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth specifically that I'm like, it's too many minigames. Because I know that...
Tons of minigames.
Yeah. Like...
Anything you have to do is a minigame.
Pretty much. Like every... Like
even picking up the Chocobo signs is basically a minigame. Yep. Like, hold that shit till completion.
Hope Tifa doesn't stomp it on it and keep it from going up. Because that's happened twice. Like, when you get on a chocobo, your entire party gets on a chocobo. And when you're on, you can, if you're just walking around, you can, like, lift the sign to, like, set up the chocobo, like, to basically get that fast travel point. Or you can do it while riding a chocobo, and your chocobo will, like, put its paw on it, or, like, talons.
Hand? Yeah, I think it's talons.
It's foot.
Foot?
It's kicker.
It's swimmer. It was really interesting, like, the reason you need chocobos early in this game is because they swim. I'm like, that's not even the first thing I associate chocobos with.
Huh. Fuck a boat. You need a choke.
You know what? I'll drink that.
So, yeah. 100%ing. I hate Fort Condor. I didn't really fuck with it like that in the intermission DLC. I really don't like it now, and I just had to do...
I tried it in the intermission DLC.
Yeah, I tried it too, and then, like, the first time it put up a challenge, I was like, nah, I'm good. But so many things about this game, like, Madrid, about how far in do you think you are, or do you know you are?
I don't know. I got my chocobo. I've kind of just been wandering around the grassland, doing shit, looking for towers, essentially. You think? I think I fought my second fiend or whatever.
Oh, the overworld challenges. You don't have to three check mark those. You just have to do them. And so...
They're going to get three check mark. It's fine.
Some of them, like, they die to... Like, if you try... I guess you could do, like, the different objectives on, like, different attempts. But some of them, I'm like... Yeah. Some of them, I'm just like, I'm not going to do this. Because you don't need to do it.
Noted. But yeah, I really haven't done much. I don't know what my next story quest was. I can't recall. But basically, I just met up with Chadley. And I was like, bro, who the fuck are you?
You don't remember Chadley from the first game?
He was like, do you not remember me? And I was like, no. I'm
like, maybe have you met Mai yet?
Yeah, I met Mai.
It's funny that Chadley and Mai, like, they do the exact same thing, but everybody hates Chadley and everybody loves Mai.
Because Chadley's, he's a real fake person. Mai is a fake person.
That's something that'll be interesting. Do we actually ever get to physically meet Mai?
And what?
She's an AI. Rebirth.
Oh. Yeah, so Chadley...
Unless they give her a body.
Yeah. I could totally see Hojo doing that.
Well, Hojo didn't make her. Chadley did.
Yeah, but... Hojo made Chadley.
So how is Hojo going to know to go make Chadley Amai. I've been watching you, Chadley, through your other eye.
Right. That little bullshit on his book bag, that's Hojo's camera.
But hey, Chadley, are you wearing a wire? Who, me? I am a wire.
My audio receptor units have been recording this whole time.
The police units are on the way.
God, Chadley wouldn't call Shinra.
That's what you think now. He said he wants us to open up all those towers for him so he can create the network so he can learn more and be completely tapped in. We're help pushing him to power. I just want us to understand that. He's gonna be the true villain of Final Fantasy.
I can see it. Final Cloud, Fantasy Zack, and 7. Sephiroth have to team up in the third part to defeat Chadley. I see it.
Final Fantasy VII Resurrection.
But spelled like they spell it in Bleach. Alright, so has anybody else played anything good before I get into some more of these downer stories?
I checked out the Unicorn Overlord demo. It was fun.
Have you played any other VanillaWare games?
I have not. I think I did download 13 Sentinels because it's on PlayStation.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually played it yet.
I've played a chunk, but not enough of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has my interest in the way. Like, it starts off, it slowly takes you through how to do everything. I can see it getting pretty deep. But I'm fucking with it. I don't think I'm about to go out and cop it or anything. It's just too many fucking games right now.
Yeah, it honestly is.
I had to take a moment and be like, Madrid, you can't buy any more games for a while. Like, you haven't been playing Final Fantasy or Persona or Tekken or Helldivers.
Is all you played Unicorn Overlord?
No, I barely played that. Like, I played that for like 2 hours. No, really like an hour and some change. I just haven't been have time.
Right.
It's hard.
So. It's hard, man.
It's okay.
Do we know why the Stellar Blade demo got pulled?
I think it just legitimately wasn't supposed to be out yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Same reason why the Under Night 2 was on sale that one day last week. It was on Humble Bundle sale for like, I think you could have gotten it for like $10 at the time. Because their naming convention is so confusing, they put the wrong one on sale.
Oh, that was an accident.
Yeah.
Oh.
Damn. Wait, what game?
Well, hey, that's
the Under Night 2.
The newest Unist.
It's crazy that that's not out, and I don't know anybody playing it. Like, I haven't even seen anybody online talking about
it. It came out like right around Tekken. Like either right before or right after.
That, and also, like, didn't have fucking server issues, as games do.
I mean, it's Undernight. Undernight is a server issue.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some, like, FGC niggas playing it.
I haven't even, like, even the, it's just Tekken, like.
When did Tekken come out?
I was watching Wooly Heel stream, well.
Like,
there's when did Tekken come out?
Videos. Early March.
Oh, no. See, this came out into January.
No, Tekken was January. It's March right now.
Yeah, it's still early March.
Wait, Tekken was...
Tekken was January.
Oh, shit.
Because Tekken was 26. Before Persona. Tekken was before Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so it came out right by Tekken, and unfortunately, it's not Tekken.
My sense it's sitting at very totally
positive,
screwed.
Mostly positive on Steam. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a good game, but
the quality is most certainly there. It's just the nature of like games right now. There's so many.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that would vie for your attention, like long term. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to compete.
It's very true.
All right, so hopefully by the time this is out, they actually officially announce and release the Stellar Blade demo so we can check it out and see how near-like it feels to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I need to, that's what I need to experience. What I need to see is that ass.
All right. I need to see it in 4K 60.
No super sampling. Put it in performance mode.
No super sampling. I need my samples on regular.
Alright, so actually we can talk about, while we're on the topic of demos and like free things, Dragon's Dogma 2 put out its character creator for free on all the platforms that it's coming to, so you can
it looks so good, like seeing people create their characters and shit. And honestly, seeing that, you know, the first thing I thought about Monster Hunter Wilds, I was like, yo, fuck, I need that character creator in this, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see, because it's not the same team, but hopefully Capcom keeps it consistent. They can't look at each other's
homework? Like, come on.
You can keep these, with all these character creators that like are coming out pre the game, you keep those characters that you made, right?
Yeah. Okay. So it's like saved as a save file for the full game. And so when you load up the full game, you don't have to like spend the first hour in the character creator. Mm-hmm. You could have spent 6 last week on it and then...
Yeah. That's like...
Just be ready to go when it's go time.
As character creators are getting more and more like in depth.
Yep.
That is probably the smartest thing I've ever, like...
Yep.
You can do. It's just like, here's the character creator. Nerd out. We'll give you the game.
You get to see your character in engine. Like, it's not going
to
be...
Honestly, I think that's a good way to sell people, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, especially if your character creator's quality is like, man, let me go in there. Let me make a little...
It didn't work.
Then you make it, it's like...
And the Saints,
you get attached to it. It's cool.
Yeah.
The Saints Row reboot, they did the Boss Factory where they put out their character creator early. And, like, it was super in-depth, and, like, I made a character in that. And I'm sure it saved my system, but... And Saints Row, the reboot, was free on PlayStation Plus a while back, so I have it, but it didn't work.
That's a different game.
Yeah, but that was a bad game.
Yeah, that makes me sad that it's a bad game.
If they're not packing the quality, then, you know...
Shout out Embracer Group.
Fucking Embracer Group.
To hell with them.
A lot of things are their fault in the industry. But Yuzu owing Nintendo $2.4 million to settle out of court is... And they're completely being... They're shutting everything down, no longer distributing it. And apparently Citra is also shutting down. So we're losing... the ability to emulate 3DS and Switch games. After the 3DS is like, the eShop's gone, physical market prices have shot through the roof. I was PSP games right now. I'm so glad that I got a bunch of PSP games back when I got a bunch of PSP games, because like, it's not even viable right now. Like, there are some DS games that I want, and DS is, like... DS is, to like, about on the same level as, like, Kirby Air Ride on GameCube of like, it'd be great to have this complete in box, yeah. But that's not a financial road I'm trying to get drugged down.
With so they're not distributing it anymore, but you'll be able to download it somewhere.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure.
So I assume it's still going to work. It just will never be updated.
Right.
You know, so
according your 3DS to... should be fine. Because what do you have to update? There's no new games coming out for it.
Yeah, I could see that being... And I mean, Yuzu seemed to run... That was one that I never even got up and running just because, like... I didn't have enough storage on my Steam Deck.
Fucking
around with emulation. But yeah, it's crazy seeing Yuzu and Citra get shut down and just be like. But I mean,
in service of letting these beloved games rot. That's the thing that annoys me the most about this is at the end of it all, because it's not like Nintendo's actually going to, let's say, take the 3DS collection and make it available on anything.
No, they're not.
It's literally just sitting there rotting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some real good shit that they just got rotting away. It's heartbreaking. All that good art.
I mean, but... Neither Nintendo nor PlayStation really care that your
old
classic library is
gone. Corporation actually cares about anything other than what they believe, their perception of what would make them money.
Yeah. True.
Talk about it.
All right, so while we're talking about things not working, a few nights ago, power went at my house. Like, I was in the room. I started watching Shogun and got probably 20 minutes in and power went for like an hour. But before it went, it surged a couple times. And the next day, I got up, went to work. Like, I was already like done playing for the night. Went to bed, got up, went to work, come home, turn on my PlayStation, walk out the room. Like, I just hit the PlayStation button on my controller, and I walk out the room, and I walk back in, and my PlayStation's in safe mode. And the only option that's available is, like, reinitialize PS5. So... freaking out. I was super worried. I was like, please. I'm like at least 12 plus hours into Final Fantasy Rebirth at this point. I'm like, please let that save have auto uploaded to the cloud, be on my SSD, like something. Like, because I lost all my screenshots I've taken in the last 4 years, all my video clips I've taken in the last 4 years.
They're just all gone?
Yeah, because they were stored on my PS5. And, like, my PS5 is essentially a new PS5. It's the same thing as, like, when I had to reflash my Steam Deck. I had to reflash the firmware on my PS5. And so everything that wasn't stored on my, like, extended, like, my 2 terabyte SSD was wiped.
Damn. Did you lose any time in Final Fantasy?
No, because I didn't even have to re-download it because that was stored on my extended storage. And okay, so
that's cool.
As soon as it booted up, it's like, yeah, we just need to remount the SSD to like the system. And it mounted and all the games that were stored on there are still like on my PlayStation.
Nice.
So anytime your shit like just cuts off and it says your PlayStation wasn't turned off properly, this could do X, Y, and Z. Is that what happened? It finally did the thing?
Yeah.
Shit. Damn.
So is that just like RNG?
You're about to have to get a strong surge protector.
That's the thing.
One of them battery packed surge protectors.
Yeah, honestly. But my Steam Deck, when I had to do it for my Steam Deck, I'm really tired of having to do this with systems because my Steam Deck, it crashed on its own during an update. Like, that wasn't me whatsoever.
To be fair, that's like Linux. It does that sometimes.
That is Linux. Right,
but...
Like, Linux's biggest problem is that it wants to be for those who thinks they're hack lords.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but... So, like, Steam Deck, yeah, that was... It was new still. Like, yeah. It made sense.
You had it when it first came out, right?
The Steam Deck?
Yeah. You were, like, one of the early adapters?
Yeah, I think... I got mine before both of y'all, right?
Not adapters.
Huh?
I said adapters, not adopters.
Oh. Adopt, don't adapt.
Or you could absorb.
But, yeah, if it wasn't me... I could see somebody having this happen and having to get a new PS5 because I at least know what I'm doing at this point with having to flash firmware between my days of experimenting with Cyanogen mod on old Androids and like jailbroken iPhones. So
yeah,
You pick up a thing or two when messing around in those worlds in high school and college. But yeah, it was like legitimately concerning. And so I'm still feeling the reverberations of it because my black controller that was plugged in is now not charging. Like, the same USB cable, I tested it, I charged my Pokemon Go Plus with it, I charged my other PS5 controller that wasn't plugged in with it, all of those charge, it's just not charging my main controller.
Did you get, like, did lightning hit your house or some shit?
No, it just, like... The power
went out, and
it said, fuck your PS5 specifically.
And your controller.
Right. Well, the PS5 is back to normal. The controller? Yeah,
it's gone.
Well, it works. Like, I can plug it in and use it plugged in, but it's just not charging.
Oh.
And at first, it wasn't connecting to my PlayStation. Controller? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine has done that. I had to, like, switch ports. Trust me, I've done it several times and rotated it, and eventually it worked at one of the ones that I know it didn't work on.
But, yeah, so even when I got my PS5 started back up, I had to use my white controller because... The black one, the light would turn on and turn off, like, whether it was plugged in, whether it was, like, connected.
That's how the black one does it, huh?
Just because it's the primary one. It's the one that got hit by lightning. Static shock.
Static shock, for real.
Oh, so your black controller has electricity-based powers?
That's the haptics.
Yeah. Adaptive. I think in retrospect, like, this console generation is going to be an interesting one.
I mean, we're halfway into it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, once it's over and we're looking back on it, we'll be like, huh? What the fuck was that?
Yeah, I agree. I understand.
Like, what the fuck was that?
To be fair,
it's a lot of promises and half steps.
Yeah, it came out during a generation like that was in a pandemic. So like,
it was in a pandemic.
This is just, you know, we're gonna look back on this and just be like, look, the C-suite made every wrong decision possible.
Mm-hmm. Phew.
They looked at what happened with the pandemic. They looked at what happened with the economy, and they were like, what if we made every wrong decision?
Yep.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. I don't know.
Think about it. The guy at the head of PlayStation who said we should do this whole pivot to live service is not there anymore.
Yeah. They've been cleaning up that mess pretty much ever since. Yeah. And that is going to continue to have ramifications for the next several years. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the end of this generation, I think, is cooked. And like, I'm trying to figure out what the next generation can do to, like, fix that, you know? Because they're going to push more power, make a more expensive console, push more power, and things like that. But just looking at the trend, gaming shouldn't continue to go in that direction. Like, making these huge, overproduced games where you're fucking going bankrupt, It's not going to be sustainable, and having all that power just to try and do that. Now having all that power for, like, true innovation and making something that's cool, that doesn't have to be, like, this hyper-detailed thing, but just, like, figuring out a new way to, like, do some shit in the game that we haven't really seen or done.
Yeah.
But not necessarily be super realistic.
I hope we get a renaissance of, like, AA and indie games. Some short and sweet games that are just video game-ass video games, and just get in, indies, you have a good time, and you get out.
Like, last year...
Well, I know they've been out here, but, like...
Not just that, but also, like, the AA offerings of the last... of the big companies in the past, very recently, have been pretty good. Like
Samurai Jack?
You like Samurai Jack? Heck, that Prince of Persia game apparently is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but Prince of Persia game is like just a low-key AAA game.
Yeah. Pretty much. Hi-Fi Rush, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are having a
double A. It's like
double A. It's like, nah, it's just
it got three of them hoes. It got three of them hoes.
It's trying to hide the one around the back. It's just like,
it's not a quadruple A.
Oh my god, yeah. That's hilarious.
Only Sea of Thieves is a quadruple.
No, see,
Skull and Bones. God damn it. Skull and
Bones. Sea of Thieves. Leave Sea of Thieves out of this.
Sea of Thieves going to everything is actually cooking Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Grits.
It's available for pre-order on PlayStation. I've seen people talking about having pre-ordered Sea of Thieves, so.
Damn. Skull and Bones. Get out of here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was out of here before it came out. Like, it and Suicide Squad were both beyond dead on arrival.
Okay, this is my theory on the Wonder Woman. I mean, on the Suicide Squad game, is I'm going to say right now, narratively, that game clearly was a Wonder Woman game at some point. Because you look at everything in that game, it's like, Diana's the main character. I think the only reason this became a Suicide Squad game is because they wanted it to be a live service game. And,
Once again, WB out here doubling down on live service games, even though their most popular game and the most popular game of the year last year, that was a stacked year, was Hogwarts Legacy, a single player game. But they're like, nah. We got to back away from these single player experiences. And you know what
they want to do? They want to look at Hogwarts and be like, how can we make this a live service game? Let's do that. They're about to cook that game. That the whatever they're going to do next is going to get cooked because of it.
Yep. That's if they survive long enough. Because remember, WB Games is trying to sell, like, the entire thing at one point last year. They were just like, how about Netherworld? Like, all these studios that... Or Netherrealm. all these studios that we have to maintain, like, what if we didn't and sold them off? But they ended up not being able to find a buyer, which is good because Embracer Group probably would have been that buyer, and then they a lot of those studios would have gotten shut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a landscape out here. Did y'all watch the Xbox Partner Showcase?
It's a hellscape.
I did. I gotta remember what was on it because
it was like 13 games.
Yeah.
I saw a couple things that it's like, yeah, I'll play these when they come to PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because most of this stuff wasn't exclusive.
No.
It was good seeing Final Fantasy 14 there. Like, that was really great.
That was cool. It was cool to see Igus, his episode.
Oh, yeah. Getting
that's the coming answer. To Game Pass.
That has been a whole entire thing.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say this now. The answer has some of the best character writing in Persona. Like, it's going to be real good. Once again, Atlas is going to be Atlas with this and not, you know, expand on it or, you know, actually bring Femthia to the game.
Yeah. But,
you know, whatever. You know, I, at this point, I've kind of just accepted that I just play what Atlas gives me. Because Atlas can do a million things, but Atlas is going to do what Atlas chooses.
That's true. Yep.
At least this time they didn't make you wait for Persona 3 Reload Fest to get the answer, and they didn't do like a re-release of the same game with some additional content.
I think, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, they've done that every single time up until now. Like, this is the first time that they're like, all right, yeah, the additional content, we're going to make it DLC. It's going to come out after the game and be added on to the game instead of making you rebuy the entire game, start your save entirely over SMT5.
I was about to say, look at SMT5. But, I mean, honestly, I'm okay with that. They're putting it on another console. So
yeah, that's the thing about SMT5 is this version, it's like, yeah, they're not doing it as DLC, but it's fine because one, they had DLC before, and also it's getting out of Switch jail.
It's out of
Switch jail. I can put that on my Steam Deck where it belongs. Send that bitch on a vacation.
Yeah. I did check out the Partner Showcase too. It was
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was just game after game after game.
The Kitsugami Path of the Goddess, like, I don't know, that looked cooler.
The Monster Hunter Rampage mode.
Yeah, essentially.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is an RTS. I lost interest, but the art style is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those, like, monster designs are really fucking cool.
The design of everything that was on screen during all those trailers is really good.
Yeah, all of your units and towers.
So, the game it reminded me of that did something like this where it was third-person action plus RTS that it also didn't work out super well with this game is Brutal Legend. Like, that was, I was watching.
Brutal Legend was fun. You had to commit. Brutal Legend was fun as fuck if you actually committed to what that game was trying to do.
Right, it's trying to do what this Path of the Goddess game is trying to do. Like, it's an RTS where you're doing third-person combat, action, like DMC light style combat.
It could hit. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it's going to hit.
It's Capcom, so, like, at the very worst, you're looking at, like, something on the level of Exoprimal. And shit, it does look like everything about it looks sick. I am not discounting the art direction, art style, like art, like any of those aspects of the game. It's just the physical act of playing the game could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
Really could. That's what I'm concerned about. I hope they give a demo for it.
Yeah, Capcom's pretty good about demos.
Yeah. And it's coming to Game Pass, so like for the Game Pass havers. It's
Game Pass enjoyers.
Yeah.
The Chad Game Pass enjoyers.
The Sinking City 2, while the first one was not that great. The second
I heard good trailer, things about the first Sinking City.
The first Sinking City was alright.
Yeah.
And by alright, I mean it was kind of poorly made, but had a little bit of charm to it, even though it was
by definition,
horrendously undercooked.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't do no undercooked.
You know, it's one of those games where it's like a bit too ambitious for what the studio could pull off.
Yeah.
They ended up in some legal trouble trying to keep that game on them. You know, somebody trying to steal the game, trying to claim it as their work and not the dev studio. It was this whole entire thing. Oh, wait.
Did y'all see that thing where like two games on Steam changed their like name and appearance to look like Helldivers 2?
Yeah, they changed their metadata. Their like image, like everything. What
scummy shit is that? Yo. Oh my god.
And that's they put different. Them on like on sale lower than the price of Helldivers. So if somebody just went on Steam looking for Helldivers, they could have bought a game that definitely wasn't Helldivers.
We got Helldivers at the house. Hex sliders. Oh man. Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What be going on with Steam, bruh?
Steam doesn't have all the protections that it should have.
It's the wild
for what it is. It's a bit too wild.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's the only place where a game about fucking furry Hitler can be on the top of your sales page for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still better than the Epic Store, though. Witches.
Yeah.
I wish the Epic Store just could get its shit together.
It's been how long?
I mean, half the problem with the Epic Store really is the fact that Epic themselves have refused to make a decent argument consumer side for why you should use Epic, and combined with the fact that, like, you know, and this is something that's been parroted multiple times by other developers and other C-suite and other companies, is the fact that people are going to go where their libraries are. So you're going to have to make a really good argument of why I should buy this off the Epic Store. Then wait for it at Steam. Wait for it to get to Steam. Well, also Steam has a bunch of back end. There's also a whole bunch of back end stuff on Steam that Epic doesn't have.
Yeah, I mean, Steam is the problem. Steam will, or Epic Game Store will never catch up with Steam. Steam has been established, and Steam is constantly adding new features. Like, the fact that they reworked Big Picture Mode to just be the Steam Deck UI now, instead of that, like, weird, only semi-functional thing that it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting an Epic Game Store deck would be, it'd be broken.
It's your Epic deck.
Epic deck.
All right. Well, does anybody have one more thing they want to do before we wrap for the week?
Go see Doom 2. Doom Part 2.
Go see Madib.
It's on the list of things. I really might go do it tomorrow, depending on, like, ticket availability.
See, I need to wait.
That soundtrack?
You gotta play that reverb. I'm gonna go see it in IMAX, because I gotta see it in IMAX, because, look, the first part in IMAX, woo!
Well,
change you. The second part?
The second part wasn't shot in IMAX. Apparently, you get a better experience if you go and see it in Dolby.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Listen, Dolby is the...
Yeah, IMAX is like a... Oh, because
it was more of a sound design.
Well, the Dolby aspect ratio matches the aspect ratio it was shot in. Oh. Where IMAX is more of like a stretch. I mean, it's still large format. It's still cool. I'm not, but
go see it with the heated seats.
Oh,
go watch it in 4DX where the screen is crappy, but they kick you in the ass and shake the chair around.
Oh, wait,
spray mist at you.
Yep, COVID infused mist.
Oh, when I was at the theater, somebody was just in there smoking.
Oh.
It wasn't a jewel, I'll tell you.
Oh, they're hitting that spice. Expanding his mind and allowing for space travel.
In Dune?
That's how Dune works. That's how their faster than light travel works. You got a bunch of coked up mathematicians figuring out the exact way to shoot ships through space.
They're so high on that dust, they can finally travel through space.
Yeah.
That track.
That's the spice. That's why they're on Arrakis in the first place.
Or if you drink the worm drink, then...
Well, that's also condensed spice, you know? And only the Reverend Mothers are supposed to drink that, because then weird shit happens. You drink that shit and you come out wrong.
Yeah, you drink it as a man, you die.
Yeah, you drink it as a man, die. You drink it as a woman, you become a Reverend Mother. And if you drink it as a woman that is pregnant, you birth an abomination. Also known as Paul's little sister. But that's not the point here. Oh, that little girl's an abomination.
Fucking, the mom's up here talking to the unborn fetus. And the unborn fetus is speaking back. With it has tales of the future and the past.
Yeah, because it has all the memories of his past lives. Of her past lives. Every single past life she already has the memory of.
All right.
Well, shit.
Yeah. Until next time, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Anton6 with 2 X's after it. Chris, where can people find you?
Yeah, hit me up in the Discord.
Madrid.
You can find me at X_Spain on Instagram.
Alright, and Jalen?
Squid Bishop on the internet.
Alright. This has been a Know It's Good production. The video version is edited by Chris. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.